Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days. Jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. Especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We're here for you Monday through Friday, even here at this part of the Celtics offseason where not a whole hell of a lot is going on. So today, we're going to talk about Kevin Durant, and apparently he's done the worst possible thing in basketball, which he was completely entitled to do, and we all know that he was entitled to do it, but it's still the worst thing ever. So we're going to talk about it. The Rain and Jays, John Corrales here, Jay King, brought to you today by the folks at Boston Paintball, and I'm sure a lot of folks out there would love to take a paintball gun to Kevin Durant just to mess him up a little bit, mess up the pretty boy and his fancy little Golden State Warriors that are just beating the life out of Cleveland and just reducing LeBron James to memes and sniping at reporters in the locker room.
Yeah, I mean, the crazy part about the first two games is that LeBron has been great.
Yeah.
And it's not like he's laying down and the Cavs are just getting run over while he's less than great. He was phenomenal in games, especially in the first half of game two, getting to the rim time after time. And the Warriors are just relentless. They just have too much. They had 20 turnovers, and they still scored 132 points.
It's ridiculous.
Totally outrageous. They had a 40-point first quarter with 8 turnovers. It's astounding what they're doing, and they just have more talent than anybody. They play a better brand of basketball than anybody. And I want to point this out first. Like, I really do admire that team because there's no egos there. They share the ball. They cut hard. They play better defense than anybody does. They have guys who are former MVPs like Durant and Steph Curry busting their ass defensively, busting their ass with cuts to get open, who don't need the ball. Like, it really is. It's incredible to watch from a basketball purist standpoint how dedicated these guys are to playing basketball the right way. Even though, you know, with the exception of Durant, all those top guys, they've already won a title. They've been on a team that won more than 6 games. Like, that's an accomplished bunch, and still, like, they don't care about anything except getting that next win and then playing the right way. And it really is incredible. But the downside of that is there's no competition left. They're 14-0 in the playoffs. They haven't lost one game with all their starters since
like March 11th?
Early March. Like, it's ridiculous. And we're watching something that's at the same time awesome and something that every team should strive for, and also something that kind of sucked the life out of the NBA postseason.
Yeah, Yeah, and look, everywhere you go, there are people who are listening that hate Kevin Durant for the decision that he made. Now, I'll say up front that I completely disagree with that. I'm not going to tell you how to be as a fan. When I say these things, that's my personal opinion. And you have your opinion, and that's fine. But I think there's just two different ways to look at this. I'm almost always going to skew towards the player. I think the players have the right. They've earned the free agency. If they want to all get together and get paid $1 million a year instead of max money so they can get together on one team and win 20 championships in a row, then so be it. It's not great for the NBA competitively as a whole, but these are the rights that they have. So Kevin Durant got to Golden State on this weird kind of bunch of things that happened at the same time where they weren't paying Steph Curry the money that he should have been making, his ankle issues. They had a little bit of a break there. They had that crazy cap spike that if the players' union had agreed to the cap smoothing proposals, then no chance Durant would have gone anywhere. Well, at least not to Golden State. Maybe he wouldn't have left Oklahoma City. Maybe he would have come to Boston. Who knows what would have happened at that point. But in the end, he goes where he goes. And I think he's well within his rights to go that. I know you wrote that on MassLive.com. But I understand the feeling that it's still not fair. And I agree with you that it is fun to watch, though. It is really fun to watch those Golden State Warriors do what they do. It's just, it's as much fun as watching Mike Tyson knock people out in the first round in his prime. There was no real competitiveness, but you just watched them tear through people. You're like, oh my God, it's amazing. But the ripple effect goes beyond no competition for the NBA playoffs. And it goes, it kind of hurt the Celtics in a big way. And Ryan Bernardoni's been out there talking about it on other podcasts, talked a little bit about it here, writing about it on Celtics Hub. Danny Ainge had a plan to get Al Horford and Kevin Durant. And by all accounts, Durant was supposedly close or considering it. In the end, he decided to go. He wanted to live and work in the San Francisco, Oakland Bay Area. So be it. He left. But in doing that, he created such a level of imbalance that the Celtics' plan that they had put together to have the max, two max slots and all of these picks to kind of either trade or go along with them, now all of a sudden, that plan, I don't know if it's out the window, but it has to be seriously rethought, because how do you compete now with, not just with Cleveland? You can make an argument that you can put a team together that will challenge Cleveland because they're getting older and getting closer to tax implications or whatever, but now you got to go against Golden State. You got to put a team together that's got to compete against the Warriors. So I guess like Durant's decision to go to Golden State's really completely changed what Danny Ainge had planned for the Boston Celtics.
I got a text from someone in the NBA the day Durant signed with the Warriors, and it said something like, "What the bleep are the rest of us going to do? Shoot for 2020. And that's kind of how it is. It's like they were put together by such a fluke. Stephen Curry had this outrageous contract. The NBA had this like one-time window where salary shot up so much that almost every team had maximum cap space. And then Kevin Durant not only became available, but became available at a time when, A, he was fed up enough with the Oklahoma City Thunder to at least seriously consider other changes, and B, prioritized what the Warriors were selling and wasn't afraid of the backlash that he knew he would be met with by going to such incredible team already ready built to win 70 games without him, never mind with him. So it was a stunning set of circumstances that will never happen again. And other teams are left looking at that like what the heck are we going to do?
Yeah.
Like LeBron James is helpless against these guys. LeBron James, yeah. The guy who has run through the NBA for however many years, one of the top two or three greatest players of all time, even when he's sharp and great, his teams are getting blown out. It's astounding. And so, yeah, so the Celtics, like, there's no obvious path to get to where they want to go. And their lone stated goal is winning a title. So knowing that the Warriors are out there, A, how do you get there? B, the answer is you don't, because nobody can. And so you kind of have to maybe not adjust expectations, but realize like the tiny chance you have of putting together a competitive team and maybe altering your plans, because the Warriors, no matter what you do, they are going to be there.
Yeah. You know, you just go back to when they were pitching Durant, and you'd wonder if there was anything that they could have done differently. And, what could they have done differently? They brought in Tom Brady. They brought in, you know, they had Coach Stevens in there, who's very convincing. And you heard, like, when you heard how players were after the All-Star game, you feel like that Brad Stevens could talk people into anything. So I'm sure that the Celtics had an impressive kind of pitch. It just boils down to, I think, that he just wanted to live and work in the Bay Area with guys that he knows he got along with, and with a team that was more ready-made to win. I don't know that the Celtics could have done anything differently at that point, unless maybe they took him out playing paintball. Could have been a way to get him into Boston.
Well done, man.
Can you imagine a pitch where you say, you know what? Forget the championships. Forget all that stuff. It's us. It's the guys on the team. We're going to go to Boston paintball and see how much fun you can have with these guys. That would have been a great pitch, I think. It would have been a lot of fun. You see Kevin Durant out there kind of like going on all fours, doing the army guy thing. Like that would have been pretty good. But I think that what you should do, if you're listening, is you should get in touch with Boston Paintball, because now the spring, it's nice. You're probably wondering for what you want to do with your friends, your family. You got maybe a family reunion or graduation. It's graduation season. All these different things. So many different ways to plan parties. No one thinks about paintball, but you should. And you should go to Boston Paintball, because they've been in business for a long time. And they've seen the entire industry. It's changed a lot in 20 years. And they promise that you will be the hero of your party, because they've got three different versions of paintball to choose from. You got kids as young as 8 years old playing this thing called Splatmaster. You've got a low-impact classic paintball for players who are 10 years old, and you can get private group play for your whole family, for everybody. They have three locations in Massachusetts. They get completely different experience. So you can try all three and get this whole big thing, or you can pick one that you think you might like better. So you can go to Chelsea and get indoor night play. You can go to Maynard and get outdoor competition in woods ball fields. And you can go to Ashland and get the 23-building apocalyptic cityscape with a hospital, an airplane, and an army deuce. That seems like the absolute way to go. But I would recommend trying all three. Boston Paintball, operated by a Celtics season ticket holder. So keep your money in the family. Support a local business. Support a Celtics fan. They got their start over on Causeway Street, right by the old Boston Garden. And they've been part of the good times for over 1 million players. They're a leader in the field and in the industry. You can trust them with your party. You can trust them with their kids. You're going to have a great time. So go to bostonpaintball.com. Use the coupon code GREEN. You'll get $50 off a group package. You can get video tours of each facility to decide which one you want to go to. And like I said, bostonpaintball.com, coupon code GREEN, $50 off a group package. Check them out. Anyway, so now I guess you wonder what the Celtics are going to do. What's the approach that the Celtics take now that Durant has gone off to Golden State? Do you put together a team that is going to contend now as best you can and do the Gordon Hayward type of, you know, do you pursue Gordon Hayward and hope that, okay, we're going to get past Cleveland. Let's say you put together a team that's going to win now, get past Cleveland, and that you hope can either be A, constructed in a way that would just be a tough matchup for the Warriors, no matter how good they are. There's always the possibility of a tough matchup if you have the right guys in the right positions. I'm being optimistic here, but follow me. Or B, do you hope that the Warriors somehow implode, or eventually there's, not that you root for an injury, but you say eventually somebody's going to not be there for the season. Do you put together a team now and just kind of hope for some of those things? Or you say, screw it, the plan that we had isn't working. We're going to tear it up, and we're going to go not just Markel Fultz, but we're going to go with the Nets pick next year. And you start looking for potential trades. Isaiah Thomas, Al Horford, these guys. Maybe you just start completely starting over, and with the hopes that in 3 years, when the Warriors are no longer viable, people make too much money, they're not going to pay the tax or whatever, that's when you can kind of be competitive as a finals contender.
I think you go out this summer, you try to use the cap space on a guy like Gordon Hayward, maybe Blake Griffin, although Hayward would, I think, be the number one choice because he's better, he's healthier, he's younger. So you go out, you try to get him. You don't have to spend any assets to go get him. He's a free agent. And you try to compete with the team you have and try to keep developing and see what happens with Markel Fultz, see what happens with Jaylen Brown, see what happens with next year's Nets pick, and groom those guys. And you know what? Maybe a couple years from now or 3 years from now, a team like the Pelicans with Anthony Davis will still be struggling and will be forced to trade him because chances are he's not going to stay in New Orleans where they haven't put a team around him. Or some other situation goes bad with some other superstar that we don't foresee, or some other opportunity comes up where you can get the superstar, like super duper star type player that you're going to really need to challenge a team like the Warriors or even a team like the Cleveland Cavaliers with LeBron James. And you keep all those options open for when that time comes. But I think you have to kind of straddle the line between the now and the tomorrow, because look, there's a chance with the way that the Celtics have been built and with the way the NBA is now that this Celtics team will be really expensive pretty soon and they won't be a title contender. But even if you don't go out and spend the money on a guy like Gordon Hayward, and then you have to pay guys like Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, Isaiah Thomas, like, this team's going to become pretty expensive pretty quickly no matter what, unless you totally pivot right away to 5 years from now, 6 years from now. And I think it would be really difficult to do that given the talent of the team right now and the fact that you have guys like Markel Fultz, Jaylen Brown developing, or Markel Fultz, I say it like they're automatically going to pick him, but Markel Fultz, whoever the number one pick will become, those guys developing to maybe push the team to the next level, maybe open a window that you didn't know would exist. So I think it would be really tough to pivot from the now to the later when you still don't know how far the now could go with those extra pieces developing.
Yeah, and there's so much at play here. And where we just look at it from a competitive standpoint, there's money involved, not just with the Celtics being good. Every playoff game is added money into these guys' pockets, the ownership's pockets. The Celtics being a competitive 50-plus win team brings in increased revenue. Increased interest means people are going to spend more money to advertise with you. You're going to bring in more revenue. And that is important because if the Celtics are going to be taxpayers at some point, the more revenue you make now, and you can theoretically bank, the more that the owners are going to be willing to pay down the line. So there's the Hinkie-esque approach that says, if you're not going to be a finals contender, you might as well just suck. And look, you get the Brooklyn pick next year, and you can get you can tear it all down and get two top five picks next year. And maybe you trade for other lottery picks and you go complete youth movement. You know what I mean? Like, that's... I don't think the Celtics are going to go that way. I think there's merit to constructing a team that can be good in the short term and give you some flexibility in the long term. And maybe if you go to Gordon Hayward or Blake Griffin or whomever, and you say, here's a unique situation where we're not looking at 5-year contracts, 4-year contracts. We're looking at a 3-year contract, 2-year contract, something that allows a guy to cash in, and then you can kind of give them an opportunity to test the market in a couple of years. Or maybe you do something with Isaiah Thomas that's a little more short term. Maybe you don't do that full 5-year extension. There's possibilities here that we haven't explored, because Danny Ainge and Mike Zarin and those guys are geniuses, and we're podcasting from our respective homes. So they know things that we don't, and I'm waiting to figure out what that is. But I think there's probably an option somewhere where they can build a short-term pseudo-contender, structure things in a way that doesn't completely tear them down tax-wise, and then they can, in 2 or 3 years, really go gung-ho with the young guys that are coming into their own. Markelle Fultz hitting year 3 of his NBA career and really taking off as a star.
Yeah, and while you were talking about that, it just... This final series has pointed out even more than the Eastern Conference final how crazy it was that people were upset Danny Ainge didn't go out and get more at the trade deadline. Like Serge Ibaka or PJ Tucker would have been enough.
Right.
Ainge knows better than we do that he needs a lot more. And watching the finals, it's every even like decent player is just, even pretty good players are just totally marginalized. Like J.R. Smith is a good player. He's a good wing. He looks terrible against the guys that Golden State has out there. And it if you're not really, really freaking good against Cleveland and Golden State, you're just a huge liability. And it's crazy to see that level of basketball. But the Warriors are so damn good that, like, they can turn good players into just outright liability. They expose even good players. So no, the Celtics weren't at all close. Also, watching the playoffs has, like, I as a basketball fan, I really wish, like, it's cool to see the Warriors, and it's incredible to see them do what they do. They could be there for 3-4 years after this one. Like, their stars are all under 30. Their team could age into an absolute dynasty. And watching the playoffs, it just really made me think the NBA would have been in a better place if Durant had gone to the Celtics. Imagine what the conference finals would have been like. Honestly, like, Durant versus LeBron, Isaiah versus Kyrie in the conference finals, and then on the other side, like San Antonio with a real shot, a really good San Antonio team with a real shot to knock off the Warriors instead of, if I had stayed healthy in that series, San Antonio was getting steamrolled like anybody else was. So I really do wish, like, watching how dominant they've been, if he had just relocated conferences, he could have changed the imbalance of the East and, you know, helped out some of the imbalance in the West at the same time. But obviously, he wanted to go to the Warriors. He wanted to win titles, and he's getting exactly what he wanted. He is on the biggest stage, and He is in a perfect situation for him. Titles to be amazingly great, to prove that he's maybe the best player in the world. Like, he is up there. He has put on two offense-defense shows in games one and two. His defense has been unreal, like just making plays down low. He's playing center sometimes. He's blocking shots. He's getting steals. He's guarding LeBron. He's scoring 30-plus points. Like, he's doing absolutely everything. It's exactly what he envisioned when he went to Golden State, and still, and I can respect that, and I can admire that he's doing that, and that the Warriors are as incredible as they are, and still be kind of annoyed that this could happen for the next 3 or 4 years, and we could be watching lopsided playoffs like this for half a decade.
Yeah, I get that. I don't know. For me, it doesn't bother me as much, and I'm probably in a very strong minority here, where I think a team like that, there's first of all, there's always going to be something. They're going to have a problem at some point. Something is going to go wrong for them. Now,
yeah, a couple of years from now, they might lose a postseason game.
But I'm telling you, there's always something unforeseen that it looks like they're going to be this unstoppable juggernaut for 5 years, could be 10 years, who knows how long it goes, depending on how the salaries go and whatever. There's always something that makes you say, oh, well, that changes everything. Something like that will happen. I don't know what that's going to be. Maybe it's going to be money. They've got contracts coming up. Steph Curry needs to get paid. Kevin Durant is under contract for one more season. He's got a player option. So I assume he's going to exercise that player option, but maybe he doesn't. Maybe he opts out and things change. Or maybe he takes a pay cut, for all we know. I don't know what's going to happen there, but Curry needs to get paid. Iguodala is going to be a free agent. Livingston, Pachulia, they're all free agents. I mean, these guys, McGee is out. Players that are making contributions. And meanwhile, they got a ton of salary committed. So I don't know what's going to happen, but something's going to happen. Something's going to come up. And if they have an injury, or somebody gets pissed off, or, you know, maybe it's Steve Kerr has to retire because his back is just too bothersome, and the coach comes in that just the entire thing changes, the dynamic changes. And like, Kerr's been a perfect coach for them. He's perfect for them. And I know Luke Walton stepped in, and I know, you know, they've had nice kind of fill-in coaching performances, but he's really, even in his injured state, he's the coach, and his personality permeates that locker room. He's part of why they're so great, so free, and so loose. What happens if he has to retire and can't be their coach? You can get a coach in there that screws things up and that the chemistry kind of changes. So that's a possibility. And maybe it sounds like I'm grasping at straws, but I know that something always comes along that radically changes the plan. And we don't know what it is yet. It's unforeseen, but something always changes the plan. So I like the idea of having this juggernaut up there. And I always put it, it's going to be a hell of a tree to chop down. To you know, they're so dominant that beating them is going to feel so amazing. And somebody will beat them. They will get beat somewhere along the line. And so, I don't know. I think I'm not as down. I'm not part of the overall outcry. Everything's, you know, horrible that Durant is there. I just don't feel that way.
Markelle Fultz will topple them in 2022.
Oh, man. All right. Interesting conversation to be had, I guess. Like I said, I just don't stand where a lot of fans stand on Durant, which is fine. You can hate him. You can think it's a bitch move. I don't criticize him.
I don't either. I'm just, as a fan of basketball, I am at once in awe of what they're doing and irritated by it.
Right, I get that.
Russ Bengtson is, if you're not following him on Twitter, you should. He had a great little tweet storm where, or a thread, now we're calling them threads. He says, we, meaning media and fans and players, make championships the be-all and end-all, and then we wonder why stars chase them above all. All of that 73 wins doesn't mean anything without a championship talk last year. And then how could KD join a 73-win team? You can't have both. And it goes on and on. Which is, it makes perfect sense. To me, that makes sense. Completely agree with this. That we, as basketball fans and observers, put championships above all else. If you don't have a ring, there's something wrong with you. Yet, we collectively say, well, we want you to win that ring a certain way. And I think there's a bit of hypocrisy because we suspend those rules when it comes to our favorite team. Like, if the Celtics were stacked, if the Celtics had just won three straight titles and then Durant came over, there wouldn't be a single person in Boston who goes, oh, no, that's terrible for competitive balance. There'd be parties in the streets. People would be loving it. If the Celtics were the Warriors right now and had all of that talent in one place, there wouldn't be a single Boston fan who said, I don't like this for the league. They'd be like sitting there just buying replica banners and hanging them in their own houses. I get it. That's how fans act. That's how you want that. It's a matter of civic pride. You want to be able to say, I'm from Boston, and look at all the championships my favorite team wins. That makes you feel good. It makes you feel better than the fans of other places. But you can't have it both ways, in my opinion. You can't have it both ways. If you were willing to have Durant come to Boston and have that, you can't be pissed that he went somewhere else and that he went there with the goal of winning a ring. If we sit there and make rings so damn important, and he's like, yeah, I want to win a ring too, and I'm not going to win it here in Oklahoma City, a franchise which, by the way, moved from Seattle to Oklahoma, completely left the city in the lurch, a franchise that, and with an owner that essentially forced them to trade James Harden because they didn't feel like they could keep that whole team together, and completely changed that. He could have walked there. Imagine Harden and Westbrook and Durant. They had to trade Harden because their owner wasn't willing to pay the luxury tax. And it's more nuanced than that, but that's just kind of the general sense. And then after all of these things happen, he says, I'm done with this. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to be here. Maybe he didn't want to play with Russell Westbrook. And he's like, fine, I'm out. Like, I can't criticize the guy for that. He did a lot for Oklahoma City. And then he wants to win a ring, and he wants to play with guys. He wants to be in a situation where he's, like, living carefree. Perfect. Fine. Go where you need to go, man. So I I'm not telling you how to be a fan. If this is how you want to be, that's fine. I just don't agree with it. And I think that there's a little bit of a little bit of a hypocrisy. That's just my take.
Hypocrites. Everybody's a hypocrite.
I just know. But if it was Boston, even if Boston had all of these stars and they want to add another star, there's nobody in Boston that would say, no, don't do that. It's bad for the league.
Well, of course. But the thing is, the competitive imbalance, it's great if you're the one team with all the talent, but the 29 other teams, it's going to be hell to catch the Warriors over the next however many years.
Yeah. No, and it's true. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, and so that is a daunting task. Before we end, I just want to apologize if I sound a little tired, a little out of it. I have been sick today. I just woke up from a nap. I only reveal this because I just want to pat myself on the back and just let the people know that I've been playing hurt and really, really persevering through illness to give you people the proper podcast that you deserve. But I am sorry if I'm not my normal, wonderful self.
You know, I don't throw around the word hero all that often. But you, sir, are the greatest hero in American history.
I mean, I'm up there.
That's a good place to end the show. If you want to be a hero, take your family and your friends to Boston Paintball. It's going to be a fun time. Go to bostonpaintball.com. Use the coupon code GREEN to get $50 off a group package. Tell them that you heard the ad on Locked On Celtics. Let them know. Again, support a local business. Support a Celtics fan who's running this local business. Go there. It's going to be a great time. Spend the day or the night whatever, playing paintball at Boston Paintball. Go to bostonpaintball.com. Coupon code GREEN. When booking, you get $50 off a group package. Subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast. If you haven't subscribed, please do that. You'll get the podcast right to your phone. It's automatically downloaded. It's perfect. Then, if you are a subscriber and you haven't rated us 5 stars, please do that. Leave us a little bit of a review. Let people know why they should be listening to us on a daily basis, because we are the only daily Celtics podcast out there. We're here for you every day, Monday through Friday. So thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.